Calvary stream. Why, tell me, why was he there? Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why, tell me, why was he there? All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should he love me, a sinner undone? Why, tell me, why should he care? I do not merit the love he has shown. Why, tell me, why should he care? Should I linger afar from his love? Why, tell me, why should I fear? Somehow I know I should venture and prove. Why, tell me, why should I fear? To the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Why should he love me so?
Bruce, thank you, son. Brother Bruce stood in tonight. The people scheduled to sing was out of town and sick. And Brother Bruce was asked to step in. And what a great choice of songs. What a blessing it was to your preacher, son. Thank you. And that's a great old song. You know, many times we think, well, man, he just really did well. But you know, it's not just the singer that's got to sing it. The piano player's got to play it. And we need to remember to thank God for those people who serve at these places of ministry and Brother Sam that's able to sit down and play for special music. We take that for granted and we must not. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Jonah. Jonah. Jonah's in the Old Testament. It's between Psalms and Malachi. I'm narrowing it down for our Bible college students. And for those of you that are trying to look at your thumb notches on your Bible, it starts with J. Jonah. It's a bashful book. It hides. Doesn't want to be found easily. If you have a Cambridge wide margin Bible, it's page 1076, Brother Ingram. All right. Folks, I love to come to church and I love to laugh. Laughter is important. It's not necessarily irreverent. It can be, but it's important. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We've got a lot of hurting people today and they need to learn to laugh. And by the way, it would be good for you to learn to laugh at yourself. In fact, if you would just take time and look at you, in fact, you'd laugh a lot. Some of you would not have told that you dreamed that you were at church about to speak and you were barefooted. Because that's not the image you have of yourself. If you've known what else I've dreamed, you would be amazed. I was grateful it was just shoes. Have you found Jonah yet? Brother Horton, you got Jonah? All right. Let's stand together and we shall begin to read in verse number 1 of chapter 1. And we're going to read 3 chapters tonight. Now don't faint. We're not going to read all of Jonah. It's 4 chapters long. But we are going to read 3 chapters tonight just to give you a simple overview of what we're going to be talking about. Tonight, next Sunday night, and the following Sunday night, 3 Sunday nights, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, Going Through Storms. I'm going to preach about 3 different men in the Bible that went through storms. Tonight, my message is the man who stirred the storm. Next week, I'll preach on the man who stood the storm. And the 3rd week, I'll preach about the man who stilled the storm. Tonight, the man who stirred the storm. I'm thinking tonight's message may be more applicable to our lives than any of the 3 messages I'll preach on storms. Because at one time or another, every one of us in our Christian life has stirred up a storm. God has sent a storm. Listen very carefully as we begin to read. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, geographically, Nineveh is in modern-day Iraq. It's just north of Baghdad a ways. Nineveh. So let me tell you, God cares about those people. "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah, being a Baptist, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me stop right there and tell you that Jonah ran the other way because he did not want God to save that city. He wanted God to destroy that city. The Ninevites were great enemies of God's people, of the Jewish people. They would come down and attack their villages and kill their people, take them captive and take them back to Nineveh. They would behead them. They're still doing it. But they would behead them. And they would take their heads and put them on stakes that lined the roadways into Nineveh. Jonah going into Nineveh would have to go by hundreds of skulls of his own people that had been murdered by these Ninevites. He didn't want to see revival come. He wanted God to judge them. But what we want is not always what God wants. Most of the time, what we want is not what God wants. And God said, I want you to go and preach to them. Cry against it, for their wickedness is come up against me, or before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, a storm. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, little G-O-D, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah, there it is again, was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now notice, these unsaved people knew a difference between Jonah's God and their God. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? Now, old Jonah is going to have to tell them, I'm a preacher, and I'm running from God, and this storm is being sent because of me. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceeding, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. What's it going to take to get you to start a prayer life? And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. He's been swallowed by this fish, and he's describing it. God's writing it down. He said, seaweeds around my head. And I'm going down to the bottom of the mountains. I don't know what it's like to be swallowed by one of those great fish. The earth with her bars was about me. I think he's seeing the ribs of that fish as he is going down. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee. With the voice of thanksgiving I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto that fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah was in that fish 3 days and three nights. Before he got right with God. 3 days and three nights before he cried out, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah. Backslidden Christian makes even fish sick. Vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And I love chapter 3. And every one of us who have been through storms and have been given a second chance in our life ought to love chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. What that means simply is that the city of Nineveh was so large that it was a 3 days' journey from one side of it to the other. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid down his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Father, thank you for this wonderful book in the Bible. It's not long, but how important it is to us to teach us about the importance of obeying God. What a tragedy it is when we get out of your will and because of our disobedience stir up storms in our life and in our homes. And oh, thank you, God, that if we'll just get right, you're a God of second chances, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God who can deliver us from the terrible storms that we cause. Help me tonight as I preach this message. Speak to our hearts. Stir our souls tonight. Convict us of those things in our life that are contrary to your will. And may we come to you tonight, lest we find ourselves in a storm that has been stirred by our disobedience. We'll thank you for what you shall do in us and for us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One does not have to live long in Texas until he gets acquainted with many different kinds of storms. We go through rainstorms and windstorms and sandstorms and hailstorms and ice storms and every now and then even a snowstorm. We face tornadoes regularly. And every now and then a hurricane will come our way and fizzle out just about in our area. And we get the rain. Here in Texas, we're also acquainted with political storms and financial storms. Yes, and spiritual storms. We have witnessed storms sweep through churches and sweep through families and the lives of individuals that have been left, they've left their wreckage strewn everywhere. Now, I want you to know storms don't just happen. Conditions must always be right to produce a storm. And too often, the storms we face in our lives, other than weather storms, are storms that could have been avoided. We ignore the warning signs and continue on until we bring about the violent storms many are going through in their lives. And some of you here tonight are going through terrible storms. Marriage storms. Financial storms, family storms, spiritual storms. All of these are usually caused by one or more people stirring up the right conditions to bring about the horrible tempest that we have to go through. Now, God allows and uses storms in our life sometimes to help us to grow, to increase our faith. He did so with his disciples. They were in the will of God. They were doing what God told them to do, and he put them right in the middle of a storm to teach them to trust him and to have faith in God. Sometimes God wants to increase our faith, and he can't get us in the Bible, and he can't get us in church. He can't get us on our knees, so he has to send a storm so we'll turn to him. He wants to increase our faith and even to aid us in getting right with God and back into his will for his life, for our life. He uses and allows sometimes sends those storms in our life, just as he did with Jonah. He sends them in our lives to judge sinners. Sometimes he sends them to chasten backslidden Christians. Sometimes he sends them to awaken the sleeping saint. Sometimes he sends us storms to teach us and to strengthen our faith in Him and His will. Sometimes He sends the storms just to teach us how important it is to obey the Savior. All Christians are spiritual weather makers. Our life, our attitude, and our actions can cause blue skies, bright sunny days, or stormy days and stormy nights. As I said a moment ago, for the next three Sunday evenings, I plan to use three stories from God's Word and preach a three-sermon series entitled Going Through Storms. My purpose in these three messages is very simple. I want to help our people who at this very time in some of their lives are going through a terrible storm of some sort. And I want you to understand that in spite of the storm, God loves you. God wants to grow you, and God wants to bless you, and God wants to use you for His glory. It's not His purpose in the storm to destroy you. He wants you to get right, and He wants to save you. For the next few moments, I want us to think about the message for tonight, the man who stirred the storm. It was Jonah who stirred or caused the storm he went through. You don't have to read four verses, and you can find out that. God told him, I have a job for you to do, Baptist preacher. I want you to go preach in Nineveh. If they don't get right, I'm going to destroy them. There's a 40-day window they have. And I want you to go. And I want to use you to be my messenger. And Jonah didn't want any part of it. Like some of you, God has spoken to you about some area of ministry and service. It is God's will for your life. That's where you'll be most useful and most blessed and most happy. But you don't want anything to do with it. And so you're running. Jonah ran. Bible tells us plainly that Jonah's storm was brought on by his sin of disobedience to God's will and God's call. And that's very plain in verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, from the will of God, from the purpose of God for his life. Notice that he went down to Joppa, verse 3. Notice in verse number 5, he went down into the boat. Verse number 3, down into the boat. Verse 17, he went down into the whale. Jesus, by the way, that called that great fish a whale in Matthew 12, so I'm not taking liberties. If Jesus said it, I'll take His word for it. And I don't have time to argue with these scientists that say it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man. They'd choke on an orange. But this was a whale prepared by God to bring about His judgment on Jonah. And I want you to know God can prepare a fish that'll swallow you too. It's no big deal with God. Have you started out on your downward journey yet because of your sin? Has God asked you to do something from Him and you went the other way and started down? Anytime you say no to God, you're starting a downward journey. It can lead to the bottom of a ship and the bottom of a whale's belly. It can lead to the midst of a storm. Let me tell you, only God could deliver Jonah from this storm that he had stirred up. You know, old Jonah couldn't just wait hoping that this storm would blow itself out. Because God's storms don't blow themselves out until they accomplish His purpose. This fish didn't get sick of Jonah. until God had accomplished his purpose. And he cried out to God. What was necessary for Jonah's deliverance? What was God trying to accomplish from this storm and this whale? Well, several things. First of all, God wanted Jonah to acknowledge his sin. He wanted Jonah to realize he was fighting against God. He was running away from the will of God. He was disobedient to the call of God. Boy, it's a serious thing when the God who created heaven and earth and the God who sent his Son to die on the cross for us and the God who saved us and forgave us all of our sin, and this God asks us to do something for him and we say no. Oh, dear God. I learned early in my young life not to say no to my earthly father. It would do us good to learn early in our Christian life not to say no to our Heavenly Father. He's not trying to hurt us or harm us. He's trying to use us and give us the best from our life. Let us accomplish His purpose for our life. What God was trying to do in Jonah was to get him to that place where he would acknowledge his sin. And by the way, God would never have not have delivered Jonah had Jonah not acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged it first of all to the fishermen, the men on the boat. He let them know it was because of him that God had called him to go to Nineveh. And he said no. And he was running away from God, and God sent the storm because of him. Have you ever been in a storm that you caused? It's bad enough to be in a storm that somebody else caused. But when you're in a storm that you have caused and you see loved ones suffering and hurting, living in fear and trembling and going without because of your disobedience, oh my, it just makes the storm that much worse. God wanted Jonah to acknowledge his sin. Look at verse number 10. Then said they unto Jonah, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence cometh thou? And what is thy country, and of what people are there? And thou, and Jonah said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the earth, the sea, and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid. Look at verse number 12. They said, of 11, they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And Jonah had to tell them. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Listen, when you find yourself in a storm that you started, you stirred, it does no good to fight against God. Does no good to try to outrun him. Does no good to hide from him. He knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knew what ship he was in, on what sea, and he knew he was in the bottom of the ship asleep. God prepared this great fish and just let him swim right up beside him with a mouth open. God knows. God knows. God wants us to acknowledge our sin. If we never realize that our storm was caused by our sin, we'll go from storm to storm, and they'll just get worse and worse until they have accomplished their purpose, or God just takes us on to heaven in the storm. Secondly, God wanted Jonah to ask for deliverance from God. Then Jonah prayed, chapter 2, verse 1, unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He wanted Jonah to ask for deliverance. He cried out to God. Jonah knew why this storm was sent. You notice, God didn't have to send a preacher to tell Jonah why he was going through this. He already knew. And I promise you, if you're ever in a storm that your disobedience, your sin has caused, the Holy Spirit of God's already been doing His work, and you know exactly why God sent this storm. Jonah knew why this storm was sent. Jonah knew who sent the storm. He knew it wasn't just a natural weather maker. He knew he was the weather maker. Others around Jonah knew that he was running from God. God wanted Jonah to know that others were put into perilous situations because of the storm he caused. If Jonah hadn't gotten right, I believe God would have sunk the whole ship. Now listen to me. Let me say something here just a moment. Sometimes in our families, a member of our family, maybe a child or a mama or a daddy, gets crossways with God and they refuse to get right. And many times that family will band together to try to help that individual to keep them from what God is trying to accomplish in their life. I think we'd be a lot wiser to trust God and turn that person into the hands of God. But I don't want to see them in the sea, and I don't want to see them in that fish's belly. Well, I believe if he hadn't have been in that fish's belly and gotten right, he'd have been dead. God knows what it's going to take. Many times, mama and daddy and family members hinder and hold back the accomplishment of God because we're trying to protect our little rebel. Thank you. I don't want to see my children suffer. But I don't want to see God have to kill them. I'd rather for God to deal with them and give them a chance to get right. What a terrible thing when mamas and daddies get in the way of God trying to deal with our family members to get them right. We'd be a lot more useful if we'd pray. And we'd commit them to God and ask God to tenderly and lovingly and effectively do His work so that one day they'll come back and say, Father, I have sinned. I think many times, out of misplaced compassion, we try to help people that God is sending storms in their life because of their disobedience. Sometimes it's financial storms. And we try to bail them out. You think you've got enough money to bail them out when God is sending the financial storm? It's a lot better just to wave the white flag of surrender and say, God, I'm yielding totally to your will. Whatever you're trying to accomplish, I want to get it right the first time. Because I don't want to go through storms like this again and again and again. Some of you men and women are going through personal storms in your life because you can't get control of the flesh. Some of you are going through storms because you won't follow Bible teaching. God wants us to understand that He has a plan and a program. He has a way to deal with misunderstandings. He has a way to deal with accusations. We need to follow His plan. be spiritual. And let God work out His will in us. You see, God wanted Jonah to ask for deliverance. God wanted Jonah and us to know that all of this could have been avoided had Jonah just obeyed God. We've got some people today that think they know better than God. And you're going to go through storm after storm and take your family through storm after storm after storm. Oh, listen, my dear friend. We have the Word of God. We don't need a special visitation from angels to tell us where our sin is and what we've done wrong. The Holy Spirit of God has already been preaching to us. We just need to learn to think and yield instead of do what comes naturally to the flesh. God expects His children to obey His Word. You say, but I see others that seem to be getting by with not obeying God's Word. Yeah. They're not God's children. God didn't judge every Hebrew that didn't want to go to Nineveh. But He judged His child, His preacher that He asked to go for Him. It would be why we would be wise to learn to follow God's Word. It's a terrible thing when we bow up our neck against God and God has to stir up a storm to get our attention. After God had delivered Jonah, he acted to carry out God's will. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. Old Jonah got up after that fish deposited him on the shore, and Jonah headed for Nineveh. I don't believe he made any more excuses. There were no more but Jonahs. He was on his way to Nineveh. He had a cause. He had a mission. He knew the will of God. He knew what God wanted him to do. He knew the message God wanted him to preach. And he ran into that great city a day's journey and began to preach. God used that old boy, that old half-right preacher. You read chapter 4 and Jonah gets upset because God delivers him and saves him. Shows more compassion on a worm eating a gourd vine and a gourd vine than he does on the people. Thank God for his second chances. Because Jonah repented, because he got right with God, gave him that second chance. And I thank God he's a long-suffering God with all of us. And I thank God, not speaking for anybody but myself, I thank God for His second chances. Today could be your last chance for a second chance. It could be your last chance for a second chance. Perhaps you've disobeyed God and found yourself in a terrible storm. What'll you do? Think with me for a moment. What would have happened if Jonah had never cried out to God for forgiveness? He'd have had no more chances. He would have died in the belly of that whale and been digested in the belly of that whale. Some people believe he did die. Secondly, perhaps you have stirred up a storm in your life or your family or your business. It was caused by your sin, by your dishonesty, or by your disobedience. Perhaps it was caused by your running from God's will for your life. I want you to be sure you understand these facts. You cannot outrun God in His storms. You cannot hide from God no matter where you go and how hard you try. Jonah tried, but God knew exactly where he was, and He knows where you and I are tonight. Maybe that you're going through that storm and your family is suffering because of you and your sin. Your friends and co-workers are suffering because of your storm also. We'd better give some thought to our future if we're going to continue to run from God. If we're going to disobey God's will for this life, then there's going to be storms and running and trouble and fear and sleepless night and just plain old miserable days and nights ahead of you. You're not going to get by. You're not going to run, get away. It's not going to blow itself out. It's foolish to try to blame someone else for the storm that we've caused. We've got to be honest and realize if we're going through that storm, it's because of our disobedience. Jonah could have blamed the ship captain. He could have blamed the crew. And there'd never been the deliverance. No one else can bring your storm to an end. Only God can cause the winds to cease. And that'll take place only when we turn to God, getting completely right with Him. God sent the storm because of Jonah's sin, and He sent storms in our lives because of our sins, and only God can stop that storm. And He'll not stop it until we get thoroughly right with Him and yielded to His will. Let me give you some thoughts about the condition of stopping the storm. What does God want to see in us if we've stirred the storm? He wants to see a changed heart and a changed mind. He wants to see a return to His will and a willingness to do His will. See, here's our problem today. We're thinking one way and God's thinking another. We've got to bring our thinking into agreement with God's thinking. Our will into agreement with God's will. And until we do that, the storm's never going to cease. Here's what some people are trying to do. They're trying to blame someone else, or they're trying to negotiate terms with God. God, if I do this, then you do this. There's no negotiating. We either come to God God's way, or we become a poor supper for a hungry fish. God's looking to see a changed heart and a changed mind. See, God wants us to see this thing like He sees it. God's looking for a confession of our sin. Until we confess that our sin is against God, we never see it as bad as God sees it. The prodigal never saw his rebellion and running away from his father and his sin in the houses of ill repute. He never acknowledged it was sin until he came to himself in that hog pen about to eat what the hogs would not eat. And there was no man now that cared for him. And only then he acknowledged that he had sinned against God. And he had sinned against his Father. God wants us to confess our sins. And you know what that word confession means? It means we agree with God that what we've done is as bad as God says it is. It's sin against God. God not only wants to see a change of heart and mind and a return to His will, God wants to see a confession of our sin, and God wants to see a submission of our lives. So what do you mean? Well, we've been making up our minds ourselves too long. We've been deciding how we're going to live our life. And really, God wants to be the one in charge. He is not only Savior, He is Master. He's boss. He's Lord. We belong to Him. He created us and He bought us by the price of His own blood. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. He wants to see us to acknowledge Him as Lord and submit to His will. The end of the Second World War, the Germans unconditionally surrendered. The Japanese unconditionally surrendered. It means they gave up all their defenses, all of their weaponry, and submitted themselves to the army that had conquered. God wants us to come to Him and unconditionally surrender to Him. Unconditionally surrender to Him. You know, we've fought three wars here in the Middle East, in Kuwait and Iraq. We fought a Gulf War against Iraq and Saddam Hussein. We fought, that was Desert Storm. We fought a war recently against Iraq, and by the way, we won both of those. But now then, we're fighting against Al-Qaeda. Saddam Hussein ignored the United Nations mandates to stop the Gulf War in Desert Storm. And again, he refused to cooperate with the nuclear inspectors. He tried to do things his own way and on his own terms. The result was B-52s, F-16s, F-15s, M-1 tanks, rockets and bombs were unleashed against him. And it was a disaster for him and for his regime. May I say, in the storms, in the battles and the wars that are going on in our soul, hostilities will not cease on God's part until after we come to terms with God and unconditionally surrender to His will. You can lie to everyone just as Sodom did. But everybody knew that he was defeated. Be honest, life isn't very pleasant when we fight against God. No one has ever won their battle against God. And neither will you. Life is far better when we get right with God and submit to the will of God, and the storm ceases. Then you and I will have a chance to get out of that whale's belly and to get on about God's business. In my final thought tonight, I just want to ask you, where are you in your life today? Are you a Christian that's right with God and the will of God? Can you sing, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God"? Can you sing that first part of the second verse? "Oh, happy bond that seals my vow to Him who merits all my love." Or are you fighting against God? Are you right? Are you saved? Are you enjoying His blessings? Or do you find yourself in the middle of the storm? It's a storm that you've stirred. Or a storm that's stirred by a family member. But it's affecting you and hurting you. Oh, dear soul, like Jonah, our hope is to turn to God in the midst of our storm. Don't try to find a place and ride it out. Don't try to find a rock to hide under. Turn to God when the waves are raging, when the winds are blowing, when it seems there's no way out. Turn to God. He can cause the storm to cease. The purpose of the storm is just to bring you back to that place of being right with God. And all of God's chastisement, when it accomplishes His purpose to get His children back to that place where we're right within with Him, there's no further need for the chastisement. God will cause the winds to cease when we're back where we ought to be. Your soul, like Jonah, in the very midst of your storm, turn to Him. If He could hear Jonah's cry from that whale's belly, He can certainly hear your cry for help and forgiveness tonight. Call out to Him. He's listening for the faintest cry from His child in the midst of that storm. He can forgive you. And He can save you. And He can give you a second chance if you'll turn to Him. Father, that's our message tonight. Thank You for putting this story in the Bible. Because every one of us are going to face storms. Every one of us are going through those times of heartaches and hurts. Those times when we've rebelled and we've said no and we've turned our stiff neck away from Your will. We find ourselves in storms and hurts and heartaches. Oh God, help us tonight to see our life and see where we're contrary to Your will, where we've said no to what You've asked us to do, where we've tried to run away from You and Your will and purpose for our life, and stop us before the storm comes. Stop us before the whale's belly. Stop us that we might get right now and not have to face that terrible storm. And then, Father, some of us are just not as smart as we ought to be. And we're going through storm after storm after storm, stirred by us doing the same thing again and again and again against Your will. Help us to be wise enough to learn from our mistakes. And help us to be wiser and learn from others' mistakes. Help us not to play the fool and never learn. Speak to our hearts tonight. I don't know who it is here that You had this message for, but You laid on my heart to preach it. God, I pray that You'd work its purpose and its will in our life, and that we might leave here in a sweet, close, and right relationship with our Savior. In Jesus' name.